Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Let's say your two daughters fight over everything, and no matter what you do, the other screams, "No fair." What do you do then? We'll address this question and more on this week's podcast, Five Vital Problem-Solving Skills You Need to Teach Your Kids. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family that you work for every single day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, please don't be shy. We're all going to benefit from your questions, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. Let's all remember, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Okay, today we're hearing from Elena from Toronto, Canada. And Elena writes, "I have two daughters, 8 and 10, and they fight and compete all the time. I'm working on eliminating the name-calling and some of the mean behavior with some success. But here's my problem. Anytime I accommodate one of their needs, the other one screams, 'No fair.' I can't get them to agree on an activity, a meal choice, a restaurant, anything. I've tried to get them to take turns, but they always claim it's their turn, and I can't always keep track. Do you have any advice for me to get better cooperation between them?" All right, thanks for your question, Elena. Good sibling relationships are important, and they're important for lots of reasons. It's the first learning laboratory for learning peer relationship skills. So it's where issues like setting limits, sharing, cooperating, and yes, competing are learned. And the bond that siblings create will last a lifetime, so it's important that that bond is a positive one. Also, getting constant negative input from a sibling can hurt self-esteem and impact one's sense of self for a lifetime. So, it's really important that we help your daughters find a better balance in their relationship. Sure, sisters fight and argue, that's natural, but we want the balance of some cooperation and support as well. So, let's see what we can do here. Before we look at a solution, it would be important to understand why they've become so competitive. I can think of a couple of likely scenarios. One or both of them is highly competitive by nature, and that characteristic dominates their interactions. Maybe the younger one is feistier and more engaging than the older one, so she pesters, and then the older one fights back, and that's become a pattern. Or the older one is competitive and tends to dominate, and maybe you've protected the younger one, and now she's gotten used to that protection and feels like a victim, and she expects it. Also, it's possible that you've been so accommodating, Elena, that both girls think they're supposed to get what they want on a regular basis. Let's face it, there are a lot of 8 and 10-year-olds in the world who would love to be able to go to a restaurant, any restaurant, and feel privileged to do so. So, you may have been too accommodating. Perhaps, Elena, you have the notion that you're supposed to be making everyone happy, and that is part of your job as mom. I want to make you and everyone remember, it's not your job to make your children or your teenagers happy. It's your job to teach happiness skills, and among those skills is learning to handle the reality that you don't always get your way. Or like the Stones song goes, you can't always get what you want. But if you try some time, you just might find you get what you need. So let's see if we can help your daughters get on track for a better relationship and get you out of the impossible job of making them happy. And looking for a way forward here, I'm going to borrow from my work with management teams. When working with teams that need to work together, I sometimes use a conflict mode assessment instrument by Thomas Kilman. This model identifies 5 ways that can be used to address interpersonal conflict. Individuals tend to use some of the ways more than others. The 5 ways include 2 active ways, 2 passive ways, and 1 pretty much in the middle. The idea is that all 5 ways have their time and their place, so they're all useful, and it's best to have balance and the ability to use all of them. That being said, we all do have our tendencies. The 2 active conflict management modes are compete and collaborate. Compete is where one person wins over the other. There's a zero-sum game. Collaborate is where 2 or more people work together to solve a problem. Right? Okay, now there's the 2 passive ways. One is avoid, and the other accommodate. Avoid, of course, is just that. You simply move on down the road and don't address the issue. And accommodate is where you simply give the other person what they want. Now, the mode in the middle between the active and the passive modes is compromise. And that's where we each get something and give up something. Like I said, each of these 5 modes have their time and place, and it's ideal if you can use the best one for a given situation. Elena, I think it would be terrific and very helpful for you to teach your daughters this model and challenge them to practice using it. Yes, they may be young to expect them to get all this. After all, they're going to feel their emotions quite strongly, and that can get in the way of thinking and using a skill. But if you start now, after a while, they'll get it. And this way, you can be more of a coach and less of a referee. And you don't want to be a referee anymore, do you? No. So here's how you might start up a conversation. Girls, the way the 2 of you fight all the time is terrible. All you are managing to do is make each other and me miserable. Now, of course, one of your girls will pipe in with something like, "It's all her fault. She's always mean to me." And you can respond with, "I can see that, and I can see how your sister could think you're pretty mean to her, too. I obviously have not taught you 2 healthy ways to solve problems, so I'll take the blame, but now we're going to change that. Let's discuss the right way to solve problems." And now, Elena, on a whiteboard, on the top left, and you should have a whiteboard in your home because it's so good to keep notes there and lists, and kids often learn by seeing more than just listening and hearing. So writing things down and having it a whiteboard that's always in process is a very helpful thing to do. So on your whiteboard in the top left, write compete. On the top right, write collaborate. Ask them to discuss both of these and what they mean and how they work. Yes, compete is where one wins and one loses. What would be the right way to compete if there is one piece of candy left and you both want it? How could you compete in a healthy way? That's right. Flip a coin, rock, paper, scissors, or something else that isn't violent. That's great, girls. Remember, when you compete, there's always going to be someone who loses, and the job of that person is to demonstrate good sportsmanship. That means that you can handle not winning. Okay? So that's part 1. Now, Elena, we're going to go on to collaborate and ask of examples of collaborating. There are likely examples of when they work together to build something or plan something. So it might go something like this. Remember when you planned a surprise for Dad's birthday together? You both had good ideas, and you put them together, and it came out great. So now we're going to keep moving along. Then on the bottom, on the left-hand side of the whiteboard, you're going to write avoid, and on the bottom right, you're going to write accommodate. Now you'll continue talking. We all know what avoid is, and ask them for an example when they might use avoidance and the best way to deal with a problem. That's right. When your sister makes faces to get a rise out of you, or when someone is doing something annoying, then ignore it and avoid would be a great response. Ask them to give some examples for accommodate. For instance, when something matters to one person a lot more than it matters to the other. An example would be when one of the girl's very favorite show is on and the other doesn't really care. Sure, let's give the one who cares what she wants. Make sense? Maybe one of the girls is feeling bad physically or emotionally, so the other sister indulges her because it's the right thing to do. Now, Elena, in the middle of the whiteboard, write compromise and ask if they know what that means. Yes, girls, it means that we solve a dispute by each person getting some of what they want and giving up on some of what they want. Ask for examples. You might offer, for instance, choosing an activity. One of you wants to go out and ride bikes and the other wants to play a game indoors. So the one who wants to go out agrees to play one game if they then go out and ride bikes. That would be a good compromise, done, and we don't have to fight. Now, Elena, when the girls get into it, you can ask them to assess the situation and think about which of the five modes they could use. Make a chart and keep it handy so you can pull it out when you need it. Now, at dinner, every evening, go around the table and have everyone give an example of modes they used successfully or unsuccessfully that day. That way, everyone is being conscious and practicing their interpersonal conflict management skills. And now, becoming proficient at using the five different skills can become more important and be seen as having more status than fighting and arguing. So parents and those who work with kids, don't solve their disputes. Teach them the five skills they need to solve their own disputes. And remind them that in life, interpersonal conflict is going to happen all the time. Those people with the best skills at solving those conflicts and using the right skill at the right time are going to be the happiest and the most successful. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everyone, and thanks to you, Elena, for your terrific question. I'd like to remind you that if you'd like to consult with me for help with a situation in your family, or if you are a mental health professional in a community-based counseling center or residential treatment program and would like to discuss training or consultation, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, click on Contact, and shoot me an email message. I'd love to help out. Please remember, you've got to take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.